Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Julie Talbot. She's a UK property investor and full-time nomad who has spent the past 17 years living outside the UK. In 2022, she took her kids out of school to embrace what many call a world schooling lifestyle. They recently left Nepal and are currently in Cambodia and might be heading to Laos soon. Sounds amazing. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hi, Hannah. Great to be here. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining us. And tell us about how this all started. I know it was your husband's job that moved to, was it Abu Dhabi in 2009?
Yeah. So we moved overseas with his work back in 2009. It was kind of, 2009 was one of those crazy years for us. You know, we kind of like, we got married, we decided we wanted to move overseas. We had actually bought a couple of houses as well. So the grand idea was we were going to move overseas with his, you know, expat job. And I was going to carry on like buying houses, like we bought one or two. So I was going to carry on doing that from Abu Dhabi. And it didn't quite work out, to be honest. I made a few mistakes on the property side of it. And we were in Abu Dhabi 2009 and just really got into life there. And there we stayed for 12 years, basically, until 2022, when we set off from Abu Dhabi to go from expats to being nomads.
Amazing. So tell us about that decision, when and why you decided to leave Abu Dhabi and what the plan was at that stage.
Yeah, so I think it'd always been a bit of a dream, I suppose. I remember when the children were really little, so I'm talking about 2015, 2016, and me and my husband kind of said, you know, we could travel whilst the kids are young. You know, we could do this. And I think I was like, yeah, we could do it. And he was a bit more like, no, we couldn't. What about school? What about work? What about all the things? Anyway, you know, we just kind of like stayed there as a thing. And a couple of years later, he said to me, you know, we could do it. Let's do it. So it kind of like it formed as a thought then. And you know, we were then just kind of like thinking about when would be a good time. And to be honest, COVID happened. And that, you know, we were in the Middle East, we were in Abu Dhabi, and we just felt safe. And it was like, why would we leave and go nomadic whilst all that was going on? So we stayed in the UAE. And then in 2022, January 2022, there started to be places where you could get visas to again. And yeah, that was when we set off. So it was really just... it was just something that we wanted to try. And we kind of figured, you know, if it doesn't work out, then we can go back to somewhere, you know, or go and live somewhere. But we just really wanted to try it and see how it went. And we homeschooled the children initially. That was really the biggest worry, I suppose, from my side, like our children's education. But we kind of like, once we managed that fear by saying, well, you know, we'll do homeschool, we'll do a virtual school, then everything else really seemed solvable. My property business would run that from Abu Dhabi. So how different was that doing that from being mobile, right? But the school was the biggest thing. Mm. But in a way, COVID had been a perfect sort of test for that as well. So we were really sort of just, it was the next logical step, really, felt like, strangely.
So how old were the kids when they came out of school?
They were 8 years old. Were they? Yes, they were 8 years old. Yeah. And then they turned nine within about 5 months. So they had to, because it was January when we left, they'd done like a term in school. But then because we moved to the virtual school, they then had to go back and redo a term in virtual school. So they weren't too happy about that. But they did it. So we kind of like completed the academic year on the virtual school to get the certificate that was needed.
And how did they feel about leaving school?
They'd known that it was coming for quite a while. So it'd always been something that we talked about. You know, we'd sort of say, when we go on our travels. So it was just something that was kind of, it wasn't a surprise for them. So, and then COVID as well, they really enjoyed the schooling through COVID, strangely. The school, I think, just before COVID had this disaster recovery system put in place, which meant they could do recorded lessons and online lessons. So it moved pretty seamlessly, to be honest, to that. You know, really, really well done to the school. So lessons were recorded every day and the kids could pick them up and do the worksheets. And it was brilliant because they could, like, do their lessons before breakfast. maybe say do 2 days in one and take a day off. And they really loved that flexibility. So when they had to go back to school, they were like, no, we want to go back to like this other way of doing our learning. So they were really quite excited to be able to step into traveling and like virtual school, which was pretty much the same. You know, we could do 2 days in one, we could take a few days off, you know, it was, we could choose the pace, and they really enjoyed that freedom and flexibility.
Yeah. And how's it been for them and you, I guess, in terms of making friends and leaving them behind? I've done a fair bit of traveling myself, and I hate goodbyes. That's like the worst thing about it.
Oh gosh, so to handle the goodbye thing, someone said to me a few years ago, and it was when I was saying a goodbye where I actually thought I wasn't going to leave, and they said to me, look, be grateful that you came and that you saw us, not sorry that you're leaving, because the only way not to feel like this now would to have been not to have seen us. And that really stuck with me. So we've always, even as expats, kind of like held on to that, like, you know, in goodbyes. And we're very mindful about not saying, oh, we miss you, because that's just like heavy and downward spiral. So we'd always be upward spiral when we, you know, leave people and say goodbyes, like, you know, we're so excited that we got to see you. It's such a privilege that we can come and like hang out and, you know, really channel that kind of like excitement when we're leaving people. So we've carried that through from expat life to nomad life.
Yeah.
And then in terms of finding community, like, I love this question. You know, it's like we haven't really got time to go to school. Like everywhere we go, unless we're on the side of a mountain in Japan, but even when we've been on the side of a mountain in Japan, we've still, you know, connected with people and built relationships. There's people everywhere in the world. So, you know, when you land somewhere, because we tend to stay for at least a month, if not longer, like we're here in Cambodia at the moment and we're here for 4 months. Within about a week to 10 days of being here, we had like a weekly routine. Like we go to quiz we go to one quiz on a Monday, one quiz on a Wednesday. We've got an AI meeting tomorrow. We go swimming on a Friday, on a Saturday, and netball on a Sunday. So you just create community, you know. I don't ever find that you find it in the same places and that it's the same skills, but there's people living everywhere in families, in units, doing things. And it's just a case of, you know, that first day in school where you'd be a bit awkward and go along to things and go, hi, I'm new, can I play? Yes. And it's just like, I do that a lot. And my kids sort of eye roll at me. But they know it works because they've seen it work so many times. And then once you get the community, like everywhere's just, you know, you just see everywhere differently.
Yeah. And do you meet a lot of other expats everywhere you go? Or are you trying to mingle with the locals as well, a bit of both?
Yeah, so we mix it up. So it's sort of like, it's a really interesting question, this, because obviously, there's expats everywhere. It's really funny. You go to a place and you think there's going to be no expats, and there always is, of all different nationalities. So it's a brilliant international community. There's an international community everywhere. And you've always got locals as well, everywhere as well, which is brilliant. And just, I mean, it sounds awful, but, you know, the Google Translate is just amazing. You know, I don't know what people did before Google Translate. But there's also traveling families as well, like other families who travel nomadically like us. So we tend to, like, sometimes we intentionally bump into people like that. Sometimes we find like pockets of community of like traveling families. Sometimes we've like hosted events, like, you know, said we're going to be in this place for 1 week and people come and like hang out there as well. So there's always ways to either drop into community or create your own community, whether it's expat, international, nomad, you know, local. Even though the girls are 13 now, and some people say, oh, you know, it's difficult with older children, we just haven't found that to be the case. Maybe I'm stubborn and maybe I'm not, maybe I just will not let it be hard. But yeah, we just find it magically unfolding, you know, in lots of places. And I'm so grateful for it.
Well, it must be working for you, because if the kids were hating every moment and constantly crying and desperate to be back in the UK or desperate to be in a school, then I'm assuming you wouldn't do it. So there are obviously loving it, and it's working for you all, which is great.
That's it. I mean, it really is a case of everyone's needs get met. You know, and the girls don't go to school anymore, and, you know, we just, well, because we stop the curriculum, and, you know, we, as long as they're curious and doing things, we don't mind. But last night I was thinking of you, actually, because last night there's a local quiz, and the guy who hosts that, sometimes he hosts it and sometimes he asks other people to host it, and he asked my daughter to host it last night. So it was a World Cup quiz. So she spent a few days collaborating with my husband to put the quiz together. And last night she was quiz master with the microphone and doing all that. And, you know, doing those sorts of things, you know what it's like. You just meet people and you're driving around and in your tuk-tuk. I was thinking of you actually driving around in your tuk-tuk, and only yesterday somebody else who we knew pulled up next was in their tuk-tuk, and we're chatting at the traffic lights between tuk-tuks. You know, it's just it's crazy how it works.
Oh, definitely. And what about the food? Are you and the kids embracing the food in all the different countries?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's always amazing. You can always get international food everywhere. So like sometimes we do, absolutely, you know, we'll go and get pasta, or I don't get fish and chips because you can't get a good fish and chips anywhere really other than the UK. I mean, come on. But, you know, we can get international food if we want it, but it's, you know, we do really love getting a lot of local food as well. So like here, it's like a coconut curry at the moment is a bit of a favourite. I've been experimenting today cooking a banana flour. I'm not sure. Wow. I'll cook a banana flour again. I think I'll leave that to the professional.
Not sure I've ever seen a banana flour.
I'll send you a picture. I hadn't until last week. Somebody else cooked one. I thought, oh, I'll have a go. I think I'm going to leave the cooking the banana flowers to her.
Oh, that's nice, though. I mean, that's an education in itself. You know, when you see, we see it here in Spain, when you get kids that come over here that are used to the diet that they might have in the UK or Ireland or wherever. And then even Spanish food, which, you know, which isn't as, I can't think of the word to use, but it's not quite like Asian food, you know what I mean? Mediterranean yeah. food isn't that different, I suppose. And, yeah. you know, some kids are really nervous to try anything yeah. new, you know, they're, well, what's that? I don't know. And I think it's amazing when you see kids and they're ordering calamari and sushi and, you know, and they'll try anything. I think that's brilliant.
I've got a confession. We found ourselves at this some kind of like seafood barbecue place at the weekend. Like it was like a huge Asian seafood barbecue, and it had like Korean barbecues, like meat and seafood and everything. And we were there with some Russian expats, actually, coincidentally. And I was a bit overwhelmed. You know what a buffet is like, with the amount of just all the food was there. And there was some, the girls being amazing trying things. And one of them said, oh, Mum, I really want to try those oysters. And I drew the line. I was like, no, we're not trying oysters. I don't know where they've come from. We're in like, we're nowhere near the sea. I'm not, yes. no. And as I was saying it, I was like, I can't believe that I'm the one saying, no, you're not trying this. But yeah.
No, that's probably good advice. I love an oyster, but you're right. If you're miles away from the sea, I wouldn't have one either. Definitely. And what's the plan then? I mentioned in the introduction that you might be going to Laos next. So why there? How do you pick the place?
Yeah, so I mean, our plan really is we go where the wind takes us. Like that was the plan when we left Abu Dhabi. You know, we go where the wind takes us. We're quite often led by the kids, you know. Or sometimes, you know, we all say, oh, I want to go here because, you know, we'll go where you want to go next. So I think we're going to go into Laos next for the simple reason we've got some friends who are in Laos. Well, we were going to go to Laos anyway, and we were going to go to Laos in July, but then we found out some friends were going to be in Laos in August. So we realized that we could extend our visa in Cambodia, stay here for an extra month, and then we can go to Laos for a month. And there's like a 1 week kind of like meetup for the world schoolers. So we're going to spend 2 weeks traveling up through Laos, a week exploring like Vientiane or Luang Prabang, and then a week doing this like world schooly sort of meetup, just squeezing that in before our visa runs out. And then we'll overland down into Thailand.
Oh, exciting. Fantastic. And the kids are loving it. They're excited about all the different new things and new places to try.
It's, you know, they are, but it's funny because it's their normal. It makes me just kind of like smile inside, you know, when I think back to my childhood growing up in Salford, you know, like dreaming about going to places. And it's their sort of normal, I guess, the same as it is for any expat and international kids. So, you know, they're happy. You know, we wouldn't be carrying on doing this if they weren't happy and if their needs weren't being met. And they keep in touch with people who they meet in different places. You know, so they've built some really good friendships here. We tend to go back to places as well, so I'm pretty sure we'll end up coming back to Cambodia. We spent 4 months in Nepal earlier. You know, that was our second time in Nepal. We're going back there next year because I've got good friendships there. And it's just so easy to keep in touch these days and stay connected, isn't it? So, yeah they'll just go on to chats or Zoom with the people they've met, and then, you know, meet new people in other places.
Brilliant. And have you, presumably you've chatted to them about the future and what they might want to do job-wise. I mean, I never went into further education myself. I went travelling, so I totally get it. So I'm not saying, oh, they need to go to university at all, quite the opposite. But obviously certain jobs, you do need to go to university. Yeah. So have you had that discussion about what they may or may not want to do in their future?
We have, and we're always open about it. And it's sort of, you know, the girls have to be curious and, you know, learn about things. And as long as they're pursuing passions, then I don't really mind. I think at the moment, you know, they're 13. Things are just changing so much. There are going to be jobs coming up that we don't even know about yet. And there are going to be jobs disappearing that people are currently going through university for. So, you know, I don't want to get attached to anything, but equally I think it's our job to help them fulfill any dreams that they have. So I'm just not attached to them going or not going. It really is what their passions are, and I think there's so many different ways to learn and acquire knowledge. University is one way, but over the next few years, I mean, even that might change. And you know, we've had open university for years as well, for heaven's sake. So, you know, going and sitting in an institution, if you do need to acquire knowledge, isn't actually the only way. So, you know, who knows? But to answer your question, it is an open conversation, but I'm not really, you know, pressing them to make any decisions. The twins have both got very distinct interests. One of them actually has a bit of a, I should say this quietly, she has a bit of a job. She helps organise guests for a friend's podcast. So she does all the prep beforehand and shortlists people and contacts them and communicates with them and prepares them and all that kind of thing. That's just great. And they've both led really on some of these events that we've hosted around, like in different places, these like 1 week events for other travelling families. They do all the communication on that. You know, coordinating with the parents, preparing them, helping with the itinerary. So they're just acquiring skills and, you know, experience about things that they're interested in. So honestly, who knows what's going to happen in the future? I'm trying not to limit their options. Basically, it's going to be on them what they want to do.
So the fact that this all works so well for you, you must wonder why more people don't do it, because it seems to make so much sense.
It's funny. I talked to some people and I can see the fear in their eyes. Like, they're like, and they'll say to me, your life's my idea of hell. And I'm like, well, I know, like living out of a backpack is not everyone's idea of fun, but it works for some people. But, you know, I know that for a long time, like, we wanted to live like this and we just didn't think it was possible, or we didn't think we could. And we're all different, right? All humans are uniquely different. But, you know, I kind of like just want people to know, if people have got that itch and they want to live like this, it is totally possible. And it's actually easier than you think, but it's not right. It isn't right for everybody. But if you sat there wanting to do it and thinking you can't, I'm a dangerous person to speak to, because I'm like, okay, tell me why you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
I was with one friend who I'd not seen for years, and I met up with him, and he'd moved countries, and we were cycling along, and we'd spoken but not face to face. So I said to him, like, so tell me, like, why did you end up moving here? Like, I don't think I've ever asked you that. And he went, well, it's you. And I'm like, well, what do you mean it was me? And he's like, well, I'd always wanted to, and then you went off and started traveling. I thought, well, if she can do it with two kids, I've kind of got to do it now. So yeah, it was you. And it was just like, oh my gosh, you know. But you know, he's got on loving his life now, so I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose a lot of people would feel, you know, not having a base and not, I mean, I guess it's made you reconsider how you feel about stuff, you know, possessions, ornaments, sofas, all all the stuff that we accumulate over the years. And it's a massive amount of stuff, you know. Decluttering is a huge thing now. And you don't have to think about all of that. And there's one way to go, oh, I don't need to worry about it. But there's another way, I suppose, a lot of people want to have that stuff. So how do you feel about it?
Yeah, so I find you ruthlessly prioritise, I suppose, is one way of saying it. And, you know, there's loads of people travel in loads of different ways. We have a couple of backpacks, big backpacks. Some people travel with 10 suitcases, you know, so everyone does what works. We prioritize certain things that we want to have with us. And they're things like, I have some photo albums. And this helps us settle in every place. So, you know, for the last few years, I've made like a little photo album of every year, and we have those. And when we get somewhere, we take those out and we put them up. So we've got pictures instantly. I know I could use a digital photograph frame, but I don't know. It's not the same. It's a good thing to like flick through and look through like something. So we carry those with us. I have a little AeroPress that just like every morning, no matter where we are, I can have the same coffee, you know, made the same way. We travel with knives that we bought in Japan because, you know, just when if you cook at home and the knives in Airbnbs can just be so variable. And we travel with a projector as well. So if you want to have a family film night or something like that. So we just prioritize, though, you know, those are things which just affect our life and it'll give us little bits of joy or a special family moment and things like that. But it was so freeing when we, you know, left our Abu Dhabi home and just literally let go of so much stuff. Like we did send a little bit of, you know, a few items back to the UK. But the majority of things we just sent into the world and put on free cycle and gave away and things like that. Because what was the point in keeping it for who knew how much time?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And everybody says, you know, at the end of your life, nobody's going, oh, I wish I bought a better computer or another pair of trainers. Yeah. Or, you know, it's not about stuff. It's about memories. It's about moments and it's about loved ones. Yeah. And that's what you're doing. So it's brilliant.
That's it. And, you know, I'll often say, like, I win no style awards. You know, for the last year, we've been traveling with one pair of shoes. And that has been like a kind of like a trail walking / hiking shoe. So like we went out of my birthday the other day to a French bistro and I was quite happy with my outfit above my feet, but my feet were with a chunky trainers sort of thing. But then that just makes things easier. Like one pair of shoes, it's like, okay, I'm not going to win style awards, but life is just suddenly very easy when you've only got one or two of something. So it just frees up space. Piece of space in your mind.
And I think, in fairness, amazing for the teenagers to grow. Are they both girls or girl and a boy?
Yeah, two girls.
Two girls. Yeah, for the girls to grow up and not be, you know, in that world where they're so obsessed with how they look and all the handbags and the shoes. And I mean, I think that's brilliant that they're getting a much better experience of what's important in life.
I mean, and yeah, they still do. They still do. One of them had smile lines the other day that she was doing and showing me and things like that. So they still do get into those things. But, you know, when you have to carry your own stuff and we do a lot of train travel and bus travel and things like that, you know, really like overland travel, it focuses your mind about what's important to you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, is there a book in you? I reckon you could write a book about all this.
I don't know. Maybe. Do you know? You know Carol, don't you? Carol Driver.
Yeah.
She did the thing. Yeah. She asked the same question actually today, and I was looking back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, 47 weeks ago, I said to Carol I was going to write some kind of book, and I didn't. So maybe, who knows? I did say it to Carol. So let's see.
Well, it's been lovely chatting with you, Julie Talbot. Thank you so much for joining us. And you have a website as well, don't you, to do with your property side of things? Is it?
Yeah, I'm more on Instagram, to be honest, which is at Julie Rose Talbot on Instagram.
Perfect. Julie Rose Talbot on Instagram. Brilliant. Julie, thank you so much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you and happy travels.
Thank you so much, Hannah. Enjoy the rest of your show. Speak soon.
Bye.